Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Thy Strong Word. I'm Pastor AJ Espinosa. We're reading the entire Bible together, one chapter at a time. And here we are in the book of Numbers. We started onto this section about sacrifices and offerings yesterday. We got into this whole notion of daily food offerings to the Lord that God is eating with the people. And there's, you know, other kinds of sacrifices in the Old Testament, just kinds of sacrifices that you make to atone for sin. And you have things like, of course, you know, Passover, but there's these daily sacrifices too. And then we started on to this section here that talks about the big seasonal holidays. And you had Passover, you had the Feast of Weeks. And now in Numbers 29, we're going to talk about the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Booths. And I know you're like thinking, hang on a second, what? I thought it was like Easter and Good Friday and Christmas. but these are the big holidays of the Old Testament. So we can look at these and ask, what are these big holidays? Why were they observed? What was the significance? And so looking into these questions and others, we have joining with us one of our regular guests. We have Pastor Stephen Tice. He's a pastor who lives out in Frona, Missouri, but he has made the drive up and is in the studio this morning. Welcome, brother. So good to have you with us.
Thank you. Good morning. Pleasure to be able to be present physically in the studio while you're present via electronic medium.
This is correct, yes. Yeah. Via electronic medium. And how are things in Frona? I haven't heard from you in a little bit.
Well, we've had a good deal of rain past couple of days, leftover rain coming up north from Tropical Storm Barry. And it was needed rain. We'd been dry for a while. The folks who farm in that area were glad to have some rain. And the parish I've been serving as vacancy pastor since last October is going to be installing their pastor-elect who has accepted their call. That'll start August 4th. So change of pace.
Awesome. Yeah. Praise God. Praise God. Very good. You know, the summers, you know, are such a time of transition. And it seems to happen with not just, you know, people going to school, but it seems to happen with pastors often. And I know that I've been helping out at different churches out here in Southern Orange County. And, you know, it's just, yeah, sometimes you're kind of waiting for a pastor to show up, and you often get them in the summer too.
Yep. This is the occasion where we have some folks on vacation, or right now there's folks going to the Synodical Convention.
So
a variety of times where people are looking for a pastor who can help out. So,
yeah, absolutely. And so, yeah, praise God that you've been able to do that for them. And you know, it's kind of speaking of, you know, these different seasons in the life of the church and in the year that we have today in Numbers 29. This is all about the flow of the seasons of the life of the congregation of Israel and the life and the seasons of the year that they observed.
Absolutely.
And so we can kind of relate to that kind of basically. But as I was saying, as we were introducing things, you know, these particulars of the Feast of Booths and the Day of Atonement and the Feast of Trumpets are maybe unfamiliar to a lot of people. So it's good to take a good hour today here to look at these things and understand their significance in that context and seeing the connections then that we can make.
Yeah, we'll see the church year is tied to a few things that are identifiable for us specifically. We have the half of the year that focuses on the life of our Savior and then the half that focuses on the church. The growth and harvest season is part of the cycle that's in the Old Testament for the people of Israel, and those two things in ways parallel what happens in the life of Jesus and the early church as well.
Yep, exactly. And so before we get into that in much detail, and we actually do the reading here, would you say a prayer for us and for everybody listening?
Absolutely. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Gracious God, you have given to us your word so that we might be instructed, that we might learn from it, that we might be guided, corrected, and encouraged. We thank you that you've made known to us your instruction to the people of Israel as to how to walk in their lives according to your intention. You provided for them festivals and days of activity that reminded them that you were the one giving them blessing and rescuing them from sin. We rejoice that you give us the opportunity in our daily work and our weekly observance of Christ's resurrection to know that you cover sin for us as well. Bless our study together as we reflect on the passing of times and the observance of your blessing in the life of your people. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And as a reminder to everybody listening, I'm delighted to say again that our podcast is getting updated again, and so everyone listening via podcast, yay, we have that going again. But for everyone listening live, you can call in if you have a question or a comment, 314-821-0850 for St. Louis, and for everybody else in the States, 1-800-730-2727. Or you can always shoot an email, anybody, kfuo@kfuo.org. Well, let's read this. We have Numbers 21. Here we are. Let's read the first portion here that talks about the Feast of Trumpets, starting in verse 1. On the first day of the seventh month, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall not do any ordinary work. It is a day for you to blow the trumpets, and you shall offer a burnt offering for a pleasing aroma to the Lord, one bull from the herd, one ram, seven male lambs a year old without blemish, also their grain offering of fine flour with oil, 3/10 of an ephah for the bull, 2/10 for the ram, and 1/10 for each of the seven lambs, with one male goat for a sin offering to make atonement for you. Besides, the burnt offering of the new moon, its grain offering, and the regular burnt offering, and its grain offering, and their drink offering, according to the rule for them, for a pleasing aroma, a food offering to the Lord. Okay, so here's this first portion, and it's kind of laying this out. There's a lot of that's kind of fairly standard here. Mm-hmm. It's clarifying that this is to be above and beyond the ordinary daily, weekly, and monthly sacrifices, the regular food offerings. What's said and prescribed here is pretty standard too. It's a holy convocation, so it's treated like a Sabbath, and there's no work done. And the offering, the special offering, is kind of standard for these holidays: a bull, a ram, and seven lambs with the goat for the sin offering. That's kind of like what we've seen for all the others, I think, too, with the Feast of Weeks and the rest.
Mm-hmm.
But what's said here is that's different is the blowing of the trumpets, we've seen before. They blew the trumpets at certain times, including the beginning of a new month. But this is a special kind of occasion with the trumpets. So how is this different, and what's the significance?
Well, as you mentioned, the regular practice of beginning of a new month, they would blow the trumpets. And this particular seventh month has the addition that you are now moving into a new period. You can call it a time of turning from one part of the year to another. And so what they are remembering, what they are recalling here, is that they are going through the change of season. The last thing that we read about in the previous chapter in 28, as we divide the book, was the Feast of Weeks with first fruits. And that would have been couple of months earlier. So this is 3-4 months down the road from that now the harvest has been completed, and they're about to begin the process of plowing up and planting for next year's harvest. So there's a rotation going on here, a holy convocation, and the phrase, you shall do no ordinary work. And there'll be some special work they're going to do, obviously, in connection to the sacrifice. But This is a day of blowing. And that trumpets you mentioned earlier back in Numbers chapter 10, we're told that they were to make two silver trumpets to blow to call the congregation together. And so those trumpets are used as a special assembly note to give instruction to the assembly or the whole people of Israel as they're traveling through the wilderness. What's happening now is this is a special day that says we're going to give an offering. And this particular offering is going to lead us through the process of identifying that we are moving into a focus on a special event happening 7 or 10 days later. And so this beginning of the month, you're turning a new year. And as you turn this new year spiritually, we're about to approach the main, I can use the word, liturgical event of the year for the people of Israel. And so the assembly on this Feast of Blowing, or Trumpets as it's called, is giving God praise and a worship that brings him part of what the blessing has been throughout the year. And the phrase, for a pleasing aroma to the Lord, starts here at the beginning of this section, and it's the last phrase at the end of the section. So it's a reminder that we're bringing before God an offering according to his instruction. And because it's according to his instruction, it pleases him. Not because we're doing good things, but because we're doing what God has called us to do. And as human beings, that's always our challenge. We're called to walk in God's way. And frequently, as sinful human beings, we stumble and fail. But then when we do what God calls us to do, that's pleasing to him, because he gives us the gift of faith, of spiritual life, that enables us to bring this pleasing aroma to him according to his instruction, not according to our idea.
Absolutely. And so there's a couple points there, about the pleasing aroma and what the food and drink offering means. And then also, as you were saying, this idea of preparing. And I think that's exactly right. Preparing for what's going to happen just 9 days later on the 10th day of the month with the Day of Atonement. And so taking that second point up, the pleasing aroma, and this is something I wanted to try to just clarify for everybody who is listening, because last time, it kind of gets difficult sometimes when you're looking at all these different kinds of offerings, because we had the daily, we had the weekly, we had the monthly, mm-hmm. and we had Passover and Feast of Weeks, all kind of in one chapter. But when the Old Testament here is talking about these food offerings to the Lord, it is, as we were trying to say last time, these are the offerings that are not eaten by the priests. Like, they got to eat most of the food that was offered, I'll say.
Yeah.
But food mm-hmm. offerings in particular, the burnt offerings, those were not eaten by the priests. Those were eaten by God. As you were saying, they're for God, to a pleasing aroma for God. He was the one to be pleased, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And this is significant, because as you were saying, the point is not that, okay, God's going to be kind of like happy with a full belly and we're going to, please him by our good works, but that God is graciously providing this sacramental way, you could say, because it's God's grace received in these physical elements, mm-hmm. Has provided this way of being present with us. Not just, occasionally on the holidays, or not just weekly, but God is present with his people every day. And so when you see these burnt offerings, the way these things work, and you get all this detail in Leviticus more explicitly, the animal gets offered, gets slaughtered, gets cut up. There are certain parts that are washed, but the whole thing just gets burned to ashes mm-hmm. there on the altar. And then the grain offering, because there's always some kind of flour that goes along with it, that this is an interesting thing that I hadn't really thought about, but, that actually gets burned on, some of it anyway, gets burned on the altar too.
Mm-hmm.
And anyone who's baked recently, right, knows that when flour gets overbaked and burnt, it doesn't smell very good.
Yeah, there's a little offense right there in the nose. Yeah.
So how is that going to be a pleasing aroma to the Lord? Well, in Leviticus, it actually makes it clear that portion of that grain offering that goes with the burnt offering, you put that on there with frankincense. And that's why you needed the incense, because you put the incense on there. If you put enough incense, the whole thing's still going to smell good. It masks the smell of the burning.
Yeah.
So these offerings that are the burnt offerings and the pleasing food offerings, and along with the drink offering. The drink offering wasn't something that the priests got. It was poured on the altar there with the sacrifice. Mm-hmm. The idea is that's for God, because that's, in a way, by God's grace, God eating and drinking and being present with his people graciously.
Yeah. And the other thing that's contained within this opening section is the reminder that there's a goat, a male goat, that's included for a sin offering.
Yes.
There's always the need to deal with our sinfulness, and God provides the way to deal with that. And so as you're celebrating on this Feast of Blowing the Trumpets, you're also still doing the new moon. So you've got like a multiplied event and adding the goat of offering for atonement keeps us all focused on the fact that God is making things right between him yes. and his people.
Yes, his gracious presence is here to bless us and to forgive us for the sins that even that we're not aware of. And those trumpets are blown, signaling right the seventh month. That's the turn of the year. And actually, isn't this Feast of Trumpets? Isn't this commonly observed as Rosh Hashanah today by those who consider themselves Jewish?
Yeah, I'm not certain. It could be. It's very possible. My brain doesn't have that data in it, so I apologize for not having plugged it in there.
Well, no, it's. I think I might be getting that mixed up. I think it is. I mean, it's kind of. It's kind of like you were saying. There's this idea of kind of breaking the year into two halves. Anyway, so yeah. I mean, regardless, it's the signal that hey, we're in a new phase here. And what's interesting is we're going to see when we get to the Feast of Booths, it's going to be 7 days of just feasting, you know. I mean, mm-hmm. I mean, at least for, you know, considering what's offered for God to feast on. But here in these first 10 days of the seventh month, there is no mention of that. And so this is the mood is much more penitential, you know. Like, I'm kind of reminded about, like, say, like Mardi Gras, you know, like you have this, you know, this big bash and you have your big meal, but then you move into Lent. And the mm-hmm. idea is there is no feasting during Lent, or at least it's not supposed to be.
Because you're
gearing up for a most penitential day, namely Good Friday, which is, you know, as we'll maybe have a chance to talk about, kind of corresponding here to what we read in verse 7. So without any further ado, let's make that connection and do this part of the reading. On the 10th day of this seventh month, you shall have a holy convocation and afflict yourselves. You shall do no work, but you shall offer a burnt offering to the Lord, a pleasing aroma. One bull from the herd, one ram, 7 male lambs a year old. See that they are without blemish. And their grain offering shall be of fine flour mixed with oil, 3/10 of an ephah for the bull, 2/10 for one ram, 1/10 for each of the 7 lambs. Also, 1 male goat for a sin offering, besides the sin offering of atonement and the regular burnt offering and its grain offering and their drink offerings. So, yeah, this is the Day of Atonement.
This, yes, and your reference earlier that this is then connected to the whole understanding of the beginning of the year or the Rosh Hashanah in modern practice among at least some communities of Jews. There's a definite connection to this Day of Atonement, that if God has judged you as one who is worthy of continuing to live, you'll live past the Day of Atonement. And so here we find the understanding that the Day of Atonement is the day of reckoning, so to speak, in the whole year.
Day of judgment.
Yes. And so this 10th day of the seventh month, and of course, as we look at the numbers 7 and 10 in biblical symbolism, it's right. The month of God's number, and the 10th day is a day of completeness. So you mm-hmm. have this holy convocation again, and you put yourself in the position of afflicting yourself. You humble yourself. You don't give yourself the joy of the normal activity. You actually deprive yourself of certain things. And right. then you bring the offering, specifically mentioned, this burnt offering of one bull from the herd, one ram, 7 male lambs a year old. See that they are right. without blemish. And so we have that, again, that number 7, God's number at work here. And then you provide, along with those, the grain offerings required, the oil. And then also there's that one male goat for a sin offering. And then we have the phrase, besides the sin offering of atonement. And that's described more explicitly elsewhere. But this particular right. day includes the public event of the what's called the escaping into the wilderness or scapegoat, and then the other right. goat. And so we have even a third goat on this day that doesn't usually get a whole lot of attention. So.
Right, exactly. We don't have a full description. We have all of that in Leviticus where right. everything gets into detail. Mm-hmm. But right, this is the Day of Atonement where the sins of the people are imputed in a way of speaking onto this goat. and it's sent away. You know, God is sending away the sin of the whole people. Mm-hmm. And that's, and of course, that's why, I mean, if you ever, you know, hear anyone, again, who like, you know, reckons themselves to be of Jewish ancestry, they may talk about Yom Kippur and mm-hmm. how important it is.
Yes, it is, as I said, one of the most important days for them. In the comment I made earlier, that they see it as the day of judgment or reckoning. If the Lord counts you worthy to have been within his boundaries of acceptable, you'll live beyond this day for another year. Now, not everybody would teach that, but there are some who specifically see this is the day where God says, yes, you live continually, or no, your time's up. And that's a legitimate way to look at God's understanding of our sin and his atonement. Do we get the death we deserve, or does God have a plan to cover our death and give us life we don't deserve? And our answer, obviously, is certainly we find that in Jesus. And again, this gets back to the whole understanding that from the beginning, the Old Testament worship patterns are pointing to Jesus. They're not just events to take place. The people in the Old Testament didn't see what we see living after the resurrection. But as we look at these parts of the Old Testament, we see that they are specifically indicating that God has a plan laid out before Jesus ever comes into the world, and that plan includes paying for sin, and this repeating annually the Day of Atonement, because the blood of goats and sheep can't cover our sin.
Right. Yes. And that's definitely. You see that as a kind of. It's interesting. It's maybe. I mean, help me like think through this. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking to myself here. You know, in a lot of ways, this pattern here of the Feast of Trumpets, the period in between, the affliction that's mm-hmm. the self-affliction that's mentioned, the fasting, for the deprivation on the Day of Atonement, that this actually kind of really maps well onto Lent and then onto our celebration of Holy Week with mm-hmm. Good Friday and Holy Saturday and Easter Sunday. But of course, we know that our observance of Holy Week, with Triduum beginning with, of course, Maundy Thursday,
right?
That actually corresponds to Passover,
absolutely,
because Jesus is our mm-hmm. Passover Lamb. But it's sort of interesting because I mean it's sort of as if Jesus is both the Passover Lamb, but also the scapegoat for the Day of Atonement. Like in some ways, in Jesus, the Day of Atonement and the Passover are combined.
Yes, they are. We find that the intention there is that the lamb sacrificed is the one that provides covering, and we celebrate that, and we feast together because the blood of the lamb has covered our sin and made us safe in God's presence. The Day of Atonement gets back to the fact that sin has to be covered by a price God has set, not one you and I come up with. And so those two things tied together here in Numbers 28 and 29, a reminder that there is the relationship with God through his Passover lamb and then the removal of guilt by God's Passover lamb. This is important for the Old Testament people of God to realize, of course, but for you and me especially to say, God's covered us. We are safe with him.
Amen, amen. And any life that we have, and this is what we always have to remind ourselves, any day that I wake up and I'm still breathing is a day that I've been forgiven, that I should have died, but God graciously lets me keep doing this. So yes, it's not just a superstition, but it's a very fair way of looking at the world. We do need to go into a break, but we need to, but we're going to go back into Numbers 29 and look at the second half, looking at the Feast of Booths when we get back. So hang with us, everybody. Numbers 29 on Thy Strong Word.
If you're interested in building a great career, the Missouri Army National Guard is interested in you. The Guard will pay you to train for a wide range of jobs, such as engineering, combat arms, logistics, transportation, and military police. The skills you'll learn are needed in the Guard and are in high demand in the civilian job market. Plus, you may be eligible for a $20,000 bonus and student loan repayment. Visit NationalGuard.com today. Sponsored by the Missouri Army National Guard. Aired by the Missouri Broadcasters Association and this station.
Welcome to A Peep Behind the Scenes. In 1878, this book quickly sold over 2.5 million copies. Now, over 100 years later, it comes to life as a powerful audio drama. The story of the lost.
There's nobody loves me, and nobody never did.
And the good shepherd who brings them home.
For God so loved the world.
On the next Lamplighter Theatre.
Saturday mornings at 11 on Worldwide KFUO.
I'm Pastor Ken Bomberger. Join me weekday mornings at 7:15 for Oratio, your time of scripture, meditation, and music on KFUO, Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.
Welcome back, everybody, to Thy Strong Word. We're looking at Numbers chapter 29, looking at these different sacrifices that we have here, the Day of Atonement, the Feast of Booths, we saw earlier the Feast of Trumpets. I'm Pastor A.J. Espinosa. We're joined by our guest, Pastor Stephen Tice from Frohna, Missouri, with us in studio. And yeah, we were, I like what you mentioned before the break, too, when you're looking at that a Day of Atonement. There are, in fact, those three goats. there's the one that obviously is, you know, the one that gets slaughtered and the blood's, you know, put in the bowl and sprinkled on the people. And, you know, and of course we see in the New Testament, there's that the idea that we're sprinkled with Jesus's blood. So you see our Lord in that goat, but then there's the goat that's, you know, sent away, the scapegoat, but there's also just the regular sin offering goat. And it's so interesting how kind of all these different sacrifices are helpful to us because they help us see all these different aspects of the importance of our Lord Jesus. But indeed, they are kind of just all combined for us in the ultimate sacrifice of our Lord, who's kind of all these things. He's sort of, you know, in a way of speaking, he's kind of all the goats, mm-hmm. and the Passover lamb, and he's just all of it.
Yes, it's a presence that can't be ignored. And for whatever it's worth, you end up with three, and then there's only the Son dying for us, but there's still a pointing to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in that concept of three.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, the Father and the Spirit are not absent from the work of the Son, but mm-hmm. they are present in His work, and so they're present even in the Son suffering and dying in our place and being our sacrifice.
Yep.
So yeah, it's not wrong to see this Father and the Spirit at least present, even if not sacrificed themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So we just covered this first half of the chapter, and now we turn to the second half, and this is the longer half because the Feast of Booths is very celebratory. It is
Absolutely.
It is not afflict yourselves. It's not, you know, a time of fasting. This is like, you know, feasting times two. In fact, as far as I recall, I don't think there's any other festival in the year that has a bigger sacrifice, like a bigger, just very,
yes,
like
continual
festive.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so we're going to see that. And it spends a lot of time talking about it because it goes on for 7 days, like the Passover, like we saw, like where there's like, it's a 7 day feast. So mm-hmm. this is also another one of these big 7 day feasts. And it goes into detail about what you do on each of the days. It's kind of like, you know, the 12 days of Christmas or
yeah,
something.
Sure.
And so it's a little bit longer here, but I'm going to try to break it down and maybe we can kind of like make a few comments along the way. So let's pick it up here in verse 12 to get started. On the 15th day of the seventh month, you shall make a holy, shall have a holy convocation. You shall not do any ordinary work, and you shall keep a feast to the Lord 7 days. And you shall offer a burnt offering, a food offering with a pleasing aroma to the Lord, 13 bulls from the herd, 2 rams, 14 male lambs a year old. They shall be without blemish. And their grain offering of fine flour mixed with oil, 3/10 of an ephah for each of the 13 bulls, 2/10 for each of the 2 rams, and 1/10 for each of the 14 lambs. Also 1 male goat for a sin offering, besides the regular burnt offering, its grain offering, and its drink offering. All right, so pausing right there. So all the regular sacrifices still intact.
Apply. And
still apply, right. But this one is taking the normal, I'd say like the normal, the standard like festival sacrifice of 1 bull and 1 ram and 7 male lambs and is multiplying it, right? Instead of like 1, 1, and 7, we get 13,
yes,
2, and 14.
It's a big jump. Yeah. And the numbers again are instructive when you take them cumulatively and sequentially. And that's part of the challenge, of course, for anybody when we read portions of scripture and we just take one chapter or we just take 7 verses, we often can overlook or fail to see the connection made in the continuity process. But here it's contained for us in this Feast of Booths description. It's the 15th day of the seventh month. So you're halfway through the month, basically, a little bit more than halfway, given a lunar month. And on that day, you don't do any work, but it's a feast. And the burnt offering is, strange number if you take it all by itself, 13 bulls. Where's that 13 come from? And then 14 male lambs. Now, that one we can take and turn into 2 times 7. And so there's a focus there that says, okay, this is a special situation. So you take the number of God's presence or action, number 7 biblically, and then it's doubled. God is doubly active in this festival, this celebration. And again, this is the other thing we talked about this Sunday morning at church. This whole question of who's going to carry off the parts that aren't burnt, or after the offering is done, then the ashes have to be cleared away. So this is the work of the Levites, and it's described for us elsewhere in both Numbers and in Leviticus. But this whole understanding that this was a major social activity for the people, and this is the interesting thing for me, of course. Several years ago, it's been at least 10 now, my wife and I were visiting our son and daughter-in-law when they still lived in Queens, New York, and we were in the Jamaica region of Queens, and
we
happened to be there in October, and what we encountered was the community just north of where they lived was heavily Jewish in its population. And we were out taking a walk, and in the backyards and on back porches and patios and decks, we saw these little tents and outdoor shelters. And we were wondering, what's going on here? And then as we were walking along, we happened to pass a Jewish synagogue, and I recognized that we were in a Jewish community, and I said, this is the Feast of Booths being observed among the people of the Jewish community today. They still have the observance, but of course they don't have the burnt offerings anymore.
Right.
Those burnt offerings, go ahead.
But you still have those tents though, right?
Oh,
because that's the special significance here of the Feast of Booths.
Yep. And the other thing that I like to point out, especially in farming communities, is that God is saying to them, you'll have this holy convocation. You'll not do any ordinary work for 7 days. Now, for the people of Israel, the grape harvest is about the only one that's still going on. But in our lives, we look at that and say, wow, that's right in the middle of harvest time. Well, for them, where they lived, the harvest would have been mostly concluded by then. But it's still a whole week in the midst of getting ready for what we would call spring plowing. They were doing fall plowing. If you're an agricultural community with flocks and herds, for a whole week, you're not going to be going out and tending your flocks and your herds. You may have guards over them to keep some kind of animals from attacking them, but you don't do the normal checking. You don't go out and see whether the young calves are okay and you're not checking, I don't know who's milking anything. You know, at that point in time, if you don't milk them, they'll stop giving milk. So God's basically interrupting the daily routines that says this is more important than your attempt to bring your own sustenance out of the world you live in. I will provide. You celebrate with me in this time. And this is
exactly.
Yeah, this is the ongoing call is to follow God's design instead of going our own way. And for us as sinful people, that's so hard to do.
It is. It's actually, I was just talking to somebody. I mean, it's hard to bring ourselves sometimes to actually celebrate and to take vacations, right? Mm-hmm. because that would require that we have to stop working. And that's hard. And, you know, oftentimes, unfortunately, with the way that things are structured, often we find that, you know, it's not like somebody else did the work while we stopped. It's, we just have to do extra when we get back. Right. So it can mm-hmm. it can be a challenge, but, we see that. And, here it is, we're taking an interruption. We're taking a pause from the regular rhythms of work to have this big 7-day feast. And it's just, as you were saying, it's to celebrate God's provision. And you see that in big ways. This is the Feast of Booths, also sometimes referred to as the Feast of Ingathering. You know, as you were saying, this was like wrapping up the harvest and you've brought in this bounty, right? I mean, if there's ever mm-hmm. a moment where you see just how much God has provided for you, it's right here at the end of the harvest. And you're like, wow, this is a lot that we've been given. Yes. And so you're celebrating God's provision on that level, but also because you're in tents and booths. And why are you living in tents and booths? Well, because we're remembering the 40-year wilderness wandering of the people of Israel when God was providing for them in the forms of manna and also the quail and the rest of it. The water mm-hmm. from the rock and all of this. So it's all about God's provision. And so that's why when we're focusing on God's provision, as you were saying, you take these numbers, the work of God, the creator God, God who made the world in 7 days, and you go and you multiply it. And so 7 becomes 14, you know, the one ram becomes 2. And the bulls, right, it seems weird until you realize that when you add up 13 plus 12 plus 11 and so on, you get mm-hmm. 70 bulls. So right. you get this, you know, big, is everything's just multiplied into these big multiples of 7, just showing God's just multiplied and bounteous provision. So this is the whole idea of the celebration that you've got here. And you see that just with the numbers and also in the tents, just so beautifully laid out there. And so go ahead.
I was going to say, and the thing is that the whole convocation, the whole community is doing this. There's hundreds of thousands of people who are actively participating, and then they right. bring these animals to, in this point in Numbers, it would be the tabernacle, and then the priests and the Levites are engaged in the sacrifice. And so there's going to be several hours of the procession of the animals to the point where they're then prepared, taken into the altar, the first one burned, and then the second mm-hmm. one burned. It's a perpetual procession and sequence of offering that is, again, a pleasing aroma to the Lord. And this idea, you know, we reflect that in our Vespers liturgy, you know, may my prayers rise before you as incense and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. This reminder that there was an ascending smoke and mm-hmm. if you've ever driven along and seen a place where a fire is taking place over the hill or whatever, you know, you see some smoke. It may be very black smoke or it might be kind of white smoke. And you say, no, I wonder what's burning. Well, here right. the whole people of Israel at their tents near the entrance to their clans can look out toward the tabernacle and see all day long this pillar of smoke ascending
right.
from the sacrifice. You know, the visual part of this is pretty hard
Definitely.
For us to grasp, but for the Israelites in the middle of the wilderness at this point, well, the edge of the wilderness, technically, they're almost in the Jordan
right.
Valley at this point.
Right.
This is a physical visual statement that says the God who has led you by the pillar of fire by night, cloud by day, now you're in connecting with him with this pillar of ascending smoke. So there's all kinds of visual things for them that we don't get simply because we're not there.
Right. Well, and then also, as I was saying too, all these burnt offerings, you know, they're burnt up. You know, the idea is, you know, God is feasting here with us, right, as we are, mm-hmm, feasting, right? Because they're also going to be feasting in their tents as well.
Right.
But so he's feasting with us, and, you know, 13 bulls, that's quite a large feast all by itself. But yep, it's also, you know, all of those go with the fine flour, which, as we were saying, also goes with the incense. And, mm-hmm, so, man, you multiply the incense too, there was a lot of incense being burned too. So
absolutely,
it would have been a lot of smoke and a whole lot of this aroma, this smell going on. So yes, so big, very, very noticeable, capturing the senses, multiple senses, all of it.
Yeah.
And so, well, we do need to, this is a longer section here, so let's just go ahead and dig into this, but we'll make a couple observations along the way. But so this is going to spell out the I guess each of the days here for the total, mm-hmm, of the 7 days. Well, actually here, we do have a question here from Cynthia. Uh-huh. Let's go ahead and get, because if I just get into this, you know, whole like 7 days here, mm-hmm, it's going to be forever and she's going to forget her question. So let's let her get her question in about the booth. Cynthia, do we have you on the line?
You do. Good morning. Good morning. I was just wondering about the connection with the Feasts of Booths and the Mount of Transfiguration. When Peter suggested, let's make a little dwelling place here, let's make some dwelling places, like someplace. Mm-hmm. And is there a connection between those two? And now, because of Jesus, I mean, okay, the hope in us, Christ in us, the hope of glory, I'm connecting, mm-hmm, a whole bunch of things, so you guys have to fish that apart.
Well, thank you. That's great. Yeah, that's good. That's great to, mm-hmm, make those connections. I'll let Pastor Tice have the first stab at this.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, the response that Peter gives, it's good to be here where clearly Jesus is being transfigured, revealed to them as God in his glory, not totally revealed, otherwise they'd have been knocked dead, but, you know, they see part,
right,
of it. He is not sure what to do, but he knows that when the people celebrated in God's presence, and he himself as a child may have gone through this repeated annual event, he now says, let's stay here and celebrate. Maybe he thinks this should be a week-long observance, but at any rate, the booths, or tabernacles as it's sometimes called, is a definite pickup from the fact that he would have had the experience of building these temporary shelters out of branches and palms and other plants that were found in the wilderness region that the people of Peter's day would have then built each year as a reminder that God had led the people through the wilderness. And so he's seeing a connection with being in God's presence, but he doesn't know that Jesus is saying, we are going down from here, and now comes the Day of Atonement, the real Day of, mm-hmm, Atonement, which in the biblical sequence precedes the day of the Feast of Booths. So
yeah,
there's a little confusion on his part as to whether he should stay on the top of the mountain or go down the hill.
Well, right. No, and that's certainly, I think, the big thing that you see there in the gospel accounts, that like Peter just, you know, he wants to stay up there, but they need to go down. And actually there's more still of the work before we get to really the glory of God being revealed, mm-hmm, with Good Friday and Easter Sunday. The other side of that, I will say, because it is very striking that you got there on the Mount of Transfiguration that Moses appears, right?
Right.
And you got the glory of God in the cloud. And, you know, you do see that in the book of Exodus, when Moses goes up the mountain. I mean, they have really specific instructions. The people are supposed to go and kind of camp out, like, at a distance. Mm-hmm. They need to stay, and they need to wait, and they better not get too close. Moses, however, he goes up, and he goes up there for 40 days and 40 nights, and it's not until that time has passed. There's this sense of preparation. You know, 40 is always this number of preparation. And it's after that period of preparation that then he receives the two tablets with the law and the covenant of God, right? Mm-hmm. And you see that both times, the first time and the second time that he receives it. He's got to wait for 40 days. And so there's part of me that kind of wonders, you know, seeing Moses, seeing the glory of God, it's like, you know, Peter's like, all right, well, we're going to stay up here, you know, maybe for 40 days and 40 nights. And, you know, and then we'll be able to receive the glory and the blessing, right? And he, like you were just saying, brother, like, you know, he wants to stay up there and receive some glory, but it's the time is not yet, right?
So it's coming down.
Yes, exactly. So I do think there is this, there are these connections between, you know, there's building these temporary shelters, whether it's, you know, 40 days on the mountain or 40 years in the wilderness, mm-hmm. that come before God's glory, revelation of glory, whether that's the giving of the Ten Commandments or God's giving the peoples of Canaan into the hand of Joshua and the armies of Israel as they, after those 40 years of preparation, go into the promised land. Either way, these tents do signify that there is this time of preparation coming before a revelation of God's grace and glory. And so, yeah, I do think there is a kind of general theme that connects all those things together. And that would be fair to see. Yeah. And it's like Cynthia was saying, it's kind of like a web of connections.
Yes, there's overlapping in different directions.
Yeah.
The last thing I was thinking about was that Elijah, after he meets the Lord on the mountain, is told, go back and do some work. Here's who mm-hmm. you point for this and someone else for that. And he immediately then leaves the mountain to do what he was asked to do. And so in that sense, we find that Jesus says, no, we're coming down off the mountain because we've got work to go do.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And you do see that there is this, even this language you get in John and in Paul, that kind of this life is a wilderness wandering, that this body is a tent. Mm-hmm. That we are temporarily dwelling in, and that, I mean, like really your whole life, the whole life of work, this is the tent. And one day we will have not the tent, but like the real solid structure, the resurrected body. Mm-hmm. This life is a time of just preparation before we receive the glory and the grace of the resurrection. So, I mean, yeah, so ultimately, you know, big picture, this whole like tent preparation, grace and glory pattern gets extended to the entire Christian life, just as we saw last time, the burnt offering gets applied to the whole Christian life too. The whole life is a burnt offering, mm-hmm. or a drink offering, which goes along with it, as Paul says. All right, I will stop. I will read.
Okay.
And we'll see if there's enough time.
You read, so, I'll listen.
Okay, thank you, brother. So here's verse 14 here, right? Yes. Yep. Okay. So second day. On the second day, 12 bulls from the herd, 2 rams, 14 male lambs, a year old without blemish, with the grain offering and the drink offerings for the bulls, for the rams and for the lambs. In the prescribed quantity is also 1 male goat for a sin offering, besides the regular burnt offering and its grain offering and their drink offerings. On the third day, 11 bulls, 2 rams, 14 male lambs, a year old without blemish, with the grain offering and the drink offerings for the bulls and for the rams and for the lambs in the prescribed quantities. Also, 1 male goat for a sin offering, besides the regular burnt offering and its grain offering and its drink offering. On the fourth day, 10 bulls, 2 rams, 14 male lambs, a year old without blemish, with the grain offering and the drink offerings for the bulls, for the rams and for the lambs in the prescribed quantities. Also, 1 male goat for a sin offering, besides the regular burnt offering, its grain offering, and its drink offering. On the fifth day, 9 bulls, 2 rams, 14 male lambs, a year old without blemish, with the grain offering and the drink offerings for the bulls, for the rams, and for the lambs, and the prescribed quantities. Also, 1 male goat for a sin offering, besides the regular burnt offering, and its grain offering, and its drink offering. On the sixth day, 8 bulls, 2 rams, 14 male lambs, a year old without blemish, with the grain offering and the drink offering for the bulls, for the rams, and for the lambs in the prescribed quantities. Also, 1 male goat for a sin offering, besides the regular burnt offering, its grain offering, and its drink offerings. On the seventh day, 7 bulls, 2 rams, 14 male lambs, a year old without blemish, with the grain offering and the drink offerings for the bulls, for the rams, and for the lambs in the prescribed quantities. also one male goat for a sin offering, besides the regular burnt offerings, its grain offering, and its drink offering. On the eighth day, you shall have a solemn assembly. You shall not do any ordinary work, but you shall offer a burnt offering, a food offering with a pleasing aroma to the Lord, one bull, one ram, seven male lambs, a year old, without blemish. And the grain offering and the drink offerings for the bull, for the ram, for the lambs, and the prescribed quantities, also one male goat for a sin offering, besides the regular burnt offering and its grain offering and its drink offering. These you shall offer to the Lord at your appointed feasts, in addition to your vow offerings and your freewill offerings, for your burnt offerings and for your grain offerings and for your drink offerings and for your peace offerings. So Moses told the people of Israel everything, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. So only got like a minute here, but we see after this progression, the seventh day ends with seven bulls, emphasizing that number seven, the creator God who made the world. And then this is kind of like maybe we'll have to do for our closing thought here. There is an eighth day with the sequences. This is a new sequence now.
Right.
It's back to one bull, one ram again. So now the eighth day begins something new, and that pattern of God, you know, creating in seven, but then starting something new on eight, that's something we see in the New Testament as well.
Absolutely. See that in the resurrection of our Savior, who's on the eighth day of the Passover week, if you will, rises from the dead. And these things are all repeated, all of the details given, and now we're summarizing here in chapter 29, verse 30. These you shall offer to the Lord at your appointed feasts. It includes all the feasts also in chapter 28. That all of these details are given because it all matters. It's all important because God desires to relate to and interact with his people. And so he gives them instruction about how that happens.
Yes, yes. It's all because of this relationship that God wants to have. And it's just like you were saying, you know, if God just comes in full glory, we all just fall over and die. But because of this system and these means and these sacraments, there's a way that God can be present even among sinners graciously in the ways that he's described in the sevenfold way of his creation, and then also in this eighth day. And, you know, this is why, you know, you've got all of our connections, you know, to the eighth day of the resurrection, to our eight-sided baptismal fonts. You know, we talk about the eighth day and, you know, the church in some ways is, you know, this is the eighth day of God's creation now that has been ushered in by Jesus Christ with that resurrection, you know, no longer in the tent or the tabernacle, you know, that we currently live in, but the solid body, which is the very temple, the solid structure of God as our Lord Jesus is that temple for us now.
Yep.
So,
all right.
Well, thank you, brother. We did it. We kept on pace, and we even got a question in there. So thank you much, and looking forward to next time. Everybody, that was Pastor Stephen Tice, pastor in Frohna, Missouri. We just went through Numbers 29, and tomorrow we'll read Numbers 30 together. We'd like to thank our underwriters at the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. Check them out at lhfmissions.org. I'm Pastor AJ Espinosa. Until next time, peace.
You've been listening to Thy Strong Word, produced by the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Office of National Mission in cooperation with Worldwide KFUO, the official broadcast ministry of the LCMS. Your support is vital for this program to continue. You can make a gift safe, secure, and easily online at kfuo.org. Thank you for listening and supporting Thy Strong Word.